Welcome back to another episode of Inside Rock. This week, we're going to play Name That Artist.
And there's no particular time period, right? I mean, we're going to go through the decades, so we're going to be able to identify people.
Decades?
Yeah, decades.
Are we doing 70s?
Here we go.
60s, 70s, 50s, 2000s, 80s.
I'm out.
All right.
Notice I said plays. This is going to be our...
it's a quiz show.
It's like a quiz show. Yeah. Feel free to play along, and we'll try not to blurt out answers.
Yeah, no, we're going to give all the clues to each category or each question before any one of Oat, Queeks, or Cha blabs out the answer.
I need an iPad stand. Can you work on that?
Yeah, I'll see what I can do.
Okay. Just use your stomach. It'll hold it there.
No, he may lose it.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, I'm the one that wanted to do a weigh-in.
It's like quicksand.
See? See that opened my mouth.
I know. It's the best. That's okay. But do you want to go first?
Hey, should I tell you I almost got in a scrap again on the way here?
No. Why? What happened?
You know that same gas bar I had that problem with, that the guy with the mask?
Yeah,
and I
spouted
it off. Not that I'm a mask flag waver, a master of pain in the ass. But remember that gas station?
Yeah, yeah.
Exact same gas station.
Right.
So I go. I wanted to get a car wash. So I figured, I'll get some gas when I'm there. Get a little bit of gas. Peek my head in the door. And it said, car wash open? Because you never know. And this big guy, that's right. I said big.
Yeah.
Fat guy.
Yeah, he's a fat bastard. Okay. And he's looking down at him while he's reading. He can't be reading. He's a dumbass. He's probably on his phone or something, right? And it didn't say anything. So, okay, well, I walk up to him and I said, dude, is the car wash open? And he slowly looks up and he reaches over in the side of the counter and he turns a sign to me and it says car wash closed. Now, he had to reach over, so it wasn't in front where you pay. Plus, it was more pointed at him than me.
Yeah.
Right? And he reached over. He didn't even say anything. I went, oh, it's closed. Okay, well, there's so many signs around here, I didn't see it. Oh, by the way, you forgot one sign, the one on your forehead saying useless.
Is that what you said?
I did.
Oh, nice.
He said something along the lines of, I don't have to take that shit, buddy. Get out of here. I said, you can speak. It just sent me, it just pissed me off.
The world is full of assholes.
Yeah.
John, that's awesome.
It was. It was fun. Oh, one of these days, I'm going to get punched in the face.
Yeah. Buddy, just call us. We'll be there.
Well, you know what? It'll be worth it.
For who? You?
No, buddy. No. Buddy, if you need help, just call us. We'll be upstairs asleep.
I knew it, you bastards.
Give us a holler.
All right. Well, all right. That's all I wanted to say. Well, you it's got always stressful coming over here.
You got that off your chest, did you?
A little bit. Not being here. Oh, no. It's stressful being here, too, I guess. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. All right. I don't know why, just getting here for some reason. Well,
Chai, you go first because you need to loosen up a little bit.
All right.
Okay, so here we go. We're going to give, five clues?
Yeah, five or six or so.
Whatever you prepared.
Whatever it takes.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
All right, and we're doing not bands, but individual artists.
Yeah, I guess the person.
Person.
Person, right? Yeah.
Okay. All right, here we go. Yeah. Number one from Chai. Here we go.
Can I ask a question first?
Yeah, perch.
Is Menudo a band or a person?
No, it's a band.
It's a band.
Ah, fuck.
Menudo's actually a way of life, actually.
A way of life.
All right, let me go on to number two then. Here we go.
Number two.
Okay. It's a guy born May 14th, 1952. A Scottish-American singer, songwriter, record producer, actor, writer, music theorist, and filmmaker.
Well, that's a lot of clues for number one.
Exactly. This guy's... plus, I love this band, so...
Okay, so we know he's a lead for a band.
Yeah, yeah, he is, yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Number two, here we go.
Yes. He was a founding member and the principal songwriter, lead singer, and guitarist of an American new wave band. That may not be a lot of help.
He's going for it. Okay, that's clue number two. Queeks is giving a shot.
No, that's not right.
No?
No. But
he fit the bill.
He does fit the bill. I don't know when he was born, but yeah, he fits the bill.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. He has received an Academy Award,
a Grammy Award, a Tony Award, a Golden Globe Award, and he is an inductee to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as part of his band. By January 1975, they were practicing and playing together while still working normal day jobs.
Well, your clues are a lot longer than mine.
But the resume so far, this like
that's huge.
The guy's talent is unbelievable.
Okay, that was clue number four.
Wasn't he's
that
almost
was
got
number three.
He's all almost three. Got an EGOT. You know what EGOT is, right?
Yeah, that's just like Rena Moreno.
Yeah, you know, amongst others. There's a handful. Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it is impressive.
Well, you should explain what an EGOT is for people who don't
understand.
Well,
it's an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar,
and a Tony.
And a Tony.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, just sipping on my coffee, sorry. All right, so that was number
did
three.
Did he name all of those?
I said Academy Award, a Grammy Award, a Tony Award, a Golden Globe Award. That's all I said.
Yeah, so no Emmy.
That's number three. Number four. Now, Queeks is going to get this. And whoever is a fan of the band is definitely going to get it as well. But one of the albums was named More Songs About Buildings and Food. And it was released in 1978. No?
I got nothing.
I thought if I gave an album name for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, last clue. I only got five.
Wow.
Okay. I'm sure there's some people out there have guessed it already.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And you guys are probably going to get this for sure with the last clue. His song, well, the band, song Swamp, was in the movie Risky Business.
Mm.
Oh, my God, you guys.
Wow.
Really?
Okay, go ahead. Give us the answer.
David Byrne from Talking Heads.
Oh, yeah. Now that you give the answer. Yeah,
I get it.
Yeah.
But this guy.
That's amazing resume.
He is one talented guy.
No kidding.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He is awesome.
Now, your clues are very extensive. Mine are not that extensive. But
right? Mine are too.
He's a guy.
Okay, here, I'll give you mine. This is a short one.
That's what she said.
As soon as I said it, I looked at you guys. But here it comes. All right, here we go. This individual,
number two.
Yeah, from Oat.
Sorry, he does that.
Let's not do that. Number
two. This individual never learned how to read music. That's to say, I'm so short that clue is.
Yeah, it's okay.
Never learned how to read music. Okay, I mean, that covers a bunch of people. Let me go on to number two.
I have an idea. Go ahead.
This performer is estimated to have sold over 150 million records worldwide. That's a lot of records.
That's a lot of records.
Yeah. Okay, I'm just going to keep on going. This one is going to be a real big clue.
Is this, can I show you?
Yeah, sure, go ahead. The individual was born in 1915 in New Jersey.
I wonder if he's still alive. Can you tell us that? That would make him 115?
Well, that would be another clue, but no.
107.
That would be another clue, but no, he's dead.
He must be.
I just told you it's a he.
Okay.
So there's two extra clues. He's dead, born in New Jersey, sold over 150 million records worldwide, and could not read music. Okay, you're going to get it on this one. He is often thought to have been connected with organized crime.
Oh
man, what's his, the crooner?
Okay, and the last two clues... Last two clues. Yeah, Queeks got it. Member of the famous Vasic Rat Pack.
Yeah.
And known as Old Blue Eyes.
Yeah, there you go.
So who is it, Cha?
You can't remember his name.
I can't remember his fucking name.
Frank Sinatra.
What? Oh, you had to name me Frank Sinatra. I know
he said he couldn't remember his name.
Buddy, this is...
Give me a second.
It's only a one-hour podcast. We can't wait for you.
Whatever.
All right, there you go. Frank Sinatra. Who got it out there? I'm sure a lot of people got it on the first few clues. But
call in if you got it.
That's it. Call in.
We're live.
Yeah, here's Queek's cell phone number.
I don't sweat that.
Oh. All right, your turn.
All right. Okay, let's do number three. This person formed their first band, The Spectres, in 1964 and became the band's drummer and occasional lead vocalist. This person also performed in several other bands, including The Valentines and Fraternity.
Unfortunately, I don't know any of those bands.
Yeah, most people don't, really, unless you're a big fan of this person. In the July 2004 issue of Classic Rock magazine, this person was rated as number one in a list of the 100 greatest frontmen of all time. Now you know it's a man. He's rated number one.
What year was that?
That was in 2004, Classic Rock magazine.
Hmm.
The next clue would be born in Angus, Scotland.
Another Scottish guy.
And spent his early years in Kirriemuir. He moved to Australia with his family in 1952 at the age of six. I'll give you the next. The next clue will give it to you, right. I would think. On February the 19th, 1980, he died after a night out in London with a former musician and an alleged drug dealer, Alistair Kinnear.
Oh, I know this.
So he died in February of 1980. And the last clue, he replaced Dave Evans as the lead singer of AC/DC in 1974.
Oh, man. Okay, there you go.
Brian?
No.
Bitch.
Who is it? Come on, you guys.
You said he replaced Bon Scott?
He replaced Dave Evans.
Oh, Bon Scott then.
There it is. Scott. Thank you. My favorite. Yeah, he was rated number one on Classic Rock magazine's of frontmen.
Wow. And that's quite a feat because he wasn't really, he wasn't around long.
No, they did quite a few albums before Back in Black, which was released just 5 months later in August.
Yeah.
After he died, but it's too bad because Highway to Hell, which was released in 79, right? I mean, that's the album that was putting getting them recognition in the States, and this is what they wanted.
Yeah.
And unfortunately died.
And that's one of my favorite albums.
That's a great.
Top album. 10 albums, definitely one of them is Highway to Hell.
Fantastic.
All right, on the number four, back to you, Cha.
All right. I have to lift up this big iPad. I do need a stand or something.
All right.
Okay, here we go. Born August 20th, 1948. And the reason I do that, some guys and gals really know these band members. Yeah. And if I give them a year and a month and a day, some of them, boom!
Yeah, I know.
Pick it off. But
yeah, it's true.
Anyways, born August 20th, 1948, is an English singer and songwriter, best known as the lead singer and lyricist of an English rock band. Pretty big clue. But
narrows it down to about 1,000 bands.
Yeah, pretty big clue, yeah. He developed a compelling image as the charismatic.
There you go.
Yep.
Charismatic rock and roll frontman, similar to those of Mick Jagger, Roger Daltrey, and Jim Morrison. So that's a pretty high standard, right?
Yeah.
But it's in that era.
And who are those guys again?
Jagger, Daltrey, and Morrison.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Okay. Starting out, he auditioned in front of the manager and guitarist for the Yardbirds.
Oh, I got it.
Oh. Okay, that was clue number three.
That's
a pretty big clue if you know the band.
Well.
No.
Oh.
No.
No.
All right, number four. And no, that's not right either. Better give Queeks a new pad of paper.
Son of a shnikes.
In 1975, he and his wife, Maureen, now divorced, obviously, were seriously injured in a car crash in Greece. This significantly affected the production of the band's seventh album, Presence, for a few months while he recovered. No, that's not right either.
Holy crap.
After all those guesses, Quicks, there's only a couple people left.
For a few months while he recovered and forced the band to cancel the remaining tour dates for the year. In July 1977, his son Carrick died at the age of 6 while he was touring the United States.
Wow.
No? Okay, number 5. That was clue number 4. Okay.
What? Okay, I think I know who it is, but go ahead.
Number 5 is went on to a successful solo career which spans from 1982 to present.
Yeah, it's got to be.
That's what he guessed. No. All right.
I did get it though.
Yeah, he did. Finally. Yeah. And the last clue, the band Heart performed live at the Kennedy Center, a very popular song. That was originally sung by him.
Yeah, fantastic. Mm. We've actually included that link to that performance in one of our other shows, the Kennedy Center Honors for this band.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
So, okay, Chad, who is it?
Well, Queeks.
It's Robert Plant.
That's right.
Oh, Robert Plant.
Yeah, you were all over. You were
I guess Jimmy Page first, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that Plant was with the Yardbirds. He auditioned with them or just he was with them?
He said he auditioned for them.
Yeah. Because I guess my first guest was Jeff Beck. That was my first. Because he was a guitarist.
Oh, you did guess that. Yeah.
Wild. That's good. That's good info.
Yeah. Because like Paige was with the Yardbirds.
Yeah.
That's probably why you were guessing Paige. Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy, man. Wow. Good one. Right, that's a good one.
Bat there, Oat.
Okay. Here we go. Next one. This performer was an American music singer, composer, songwriter, and band leader.
Was. Must be dead.
Well, no, he used to do that. He's still alive.
Oh, okay.
I just gave you two more. It's a him, and he's alive.
Now he's a Walmart greeter.
Yeah, and he actually started out writing classical music and playing drums in rhythm and blues bands.
All right. Are you going to give a year when he was born?
Nope.
Okay.
Well, I guess I could do that. He was born in 1940.
All right, so he's a classic rock.
I think I know who it is.
Okay, I'll give you the next clue, though. Very controversial figure, and he was very critical of mainstream education and organized religion.
Mm.
Okay.
Number 3. He was actually inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1995.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
It's only 10 years in. 1995.
Yep, 1995. Okay, now you're going to get it on this next one. He's mentioned in a Deep Purple song.
Oh, I got it.
There you go.
Yeah, I got it.
All right.
It must be, can I guess?
No, I got one more.
Oh, yeah, another clue.
One more clue. His kids' names include Moon and Dweezil.
Yeah. So the name of the song is Smoke on the Water.
Right.
Frank Zappa. And the Mothers.
That's right.
Mothers of Invention.
Mothers of Invention, yeah.
Frank Zappa. That's a good one.
That is a good one. Did you ever honestly listen from beginning to end, Yellow Snow by Frank Zappa?
Oh, yeah, don't eat the yellow snow. Don't eat.
I can't see. Don't.
It's classic.
You gotta listen to the song.
You know, I don't have any Frank Zappa records.
No, neither do I.
Yeah, it's a shame too.
You know who did? Huh? Who I actually learned about Frank Zappa from? Do you remember Smitty from
Ron
the
Smith?
Theater? Yeah.
Like he's still on my Facebook.
Is he?
Ron Smith, yeah.
Dude, he used to bring the Zappa tape into the theater and like play it through the whole, like when in the bathrooms and the lobby. He used to play Yellow Snow and all the weird shit.
All the aliens. He did that one song by Brownsville Station, too, he brought in with the alien. I can't remember the name of it. Yeah, he was into that weird stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I love it, though. That's great.
And then one time, I'm sorry, going off a little bit, brought in, he left his Zeppelin tape behind. So I played it. Well, you know, at night when the theater, everybody's kind of quiet.
8-track or audio cassette?
Audio cassette.
Okay, just wondered.
Yeah. So Ron forgot his tape. I threw in the Zeppelin tape, and it just happened that a woman went into the bathroom while the Lemon song was playing.
Oh, no. I'm going to squeeze you till the juice runs down your leg. That's not good.
She came out red and like, I'd like to speak to the manager, please. I'm like 14. I'm not even supposed to be working there, right? You know, our manager, he was gone long ago. So forget, it's me. I'm the manager. She looks at me. Well, there's a song on right now that's not very. Oh, fuck, the Lemon song. What are the odds? What are the odds?
You know, I remember that. I remember you telling me that when it happened. I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
And she did complain. I remember the manager, we got more selective of our tapes. I said, okay, so then we brought in Black Sabbath.
Nice.
Oh, well.
Chad doesn't care, but I'm going to say it anyway. Number 6.
All right, 6.
Oh, thank God. I thought it was number 5. Oh, I would have been totally lost. That was sarcasm, by the way.
Go ahead, Queeks.
Yeah, I know. That's right. So this person was born January 15th, 1948. And first clue, he is the older brother of the founder and vocalist of the band 38 Special.
Whoa. Look at the daring clues he gives.
I know.
Just daring us to... That's some major stuff
right
there.
Did you notice the facial attitude he had when he gave it?
Yeah, like I gave a band name. But you know what? Both you and I, we don't have a freaking clue.
That's right.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
Exactly. You ready for the second cue?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's a he. He idolized boxer Muhammad Ali and considered a career in the ring. And while playing American Legion baseball, dreamed of minor league success. You're not going to get it on that. Here's the third clue. He formed a band called My Backyard late in the summer of 1964 with friends and schoolmates. And some of those friends and schoolmates went on to form the super band that they ended up having.
And what year was that he did that?
64. 1964.
Okay.
And it's kind of strange because the fourth clue, he stated that he would never live to see 30 years old.
And did he?
He did not.
So
I'll give you the fifth clue.
He willed himself to death.
No kidding.
Well, there's quite a bit on that. He used to say it to his father when he was younger, and his father would say, "Why are you saying stuff like that?"
That's kind of messed up.
Yeah, he said it all along, and he said it to one of his bandmates. He said it to his bandmates so often as he approached 30 that they were getting sick of hearing it. It's like, "Come on, quit talking like that. It's just stupid."
All right.
He started calling himself the Mississippi Kid. And even though he was from Jacksonville, Florida, it was weird because his only connection to Mississippi would be that is where he died at the age of 29.
This is all weird stuff, man.
Yeah.
This should be on Weird and Wacky.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So he died at 29, so he did not reach 30.
Yeah, and he died in Mississippi.
Now, you can give details on how he died, or?
Oh, yeah, we've covered it in other podcasts in detail, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you'll know. So the last clue, the band that he formed was named after their gym teacher.
Oh.
And they released their first album in 1973. Who wants to jump in?
I got it. Yeah. Van Zant.
Ronnie Van Zant.
Yeah.
Yeah, from Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Yeah.
Yeah, so his brother is the founding member and lead singer of 38 Special. And his younger brother actually went on to replace him after he died.
Wow.
Yeah. But yeah, he'd always say that. And
he died in a plane crash.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like suicide or anything. His prediction came true through no effort of his own.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That's spooky stuff.
Yeah, it is. I know.
All right, back to Cha. Number 7.
All right. So, born December 13th, 1948.
There we go again. Classic rock at its finest.
Yeah.
Yes. Is an American singer, songwriter, guitarist, and activist. Okay. He initially gained fame as the lead guitarist and occasional lead vocalist of the Amboy Dukes.
I got it.
And a band formed in 1963 that played psychedelic rock and hard rock. That was clue number 1.
No. Yes. Queeks has got it. And Oat has a...
Okay, sorry. All right. Continue, please.
Clue number two. After dissolving the band, he embarked on a solo career. He is known for his Gibson Birdland, his bluesy and frenzy guitar playing, and his energetic live shows. The big Birdland guitar. You know, I think what is it? Colin James, too. He has that big...
Yeah. And what year was this?
1948. Well, he was born. Oh, sorry. 1948 he was born. But it was 1963.
That was the Dukes, wasn't it?
The Dukes, yeah. No. All right. Okay.
All right, keep going.
Yeah. Okay. Despite... possessing a distinctive, wide-ranging singing voice, he recorded and toured with other lead singers during much of his early solo career, including Derek St. Holmes, Charlie Hunn, Brian Howe, and Meatloaf, only taking on full lead vocals duties later on.
Yeah, that's right.
So he needed some vocal help at the beginning. And we actually, remember we brought him up, remember, in our other podcast?
We did.
In the Meatloaf podcast.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. We did, yeah.
Okay. That was clue number three. Number four, in the late 1980s and early 1990s, he was part of the supergroup Damn Yankees.
Yeah.
Mm. Anything? Nothing? Well, Queeks has got it. But
we're going to keep going with the clues.
All right. Well, you're gonna get this. Most people should get it after this. His biggest hit was in 1977 called Cat Scratch Fever, in which he sang the lead vocals.
Uncle Ted.
Yeah.
Terrible Ted.
Motor City Madman. I thought for sure you guys might jump at it when I said the first clue. I mentioned he was also an activist, although that could be.
Wow, there's a whole bunch of them
but
are activists.
You know, Ted. Oh, yeah. He's an activist.
He's pretty sure outspoken. There's no question about it.
That's good.
Good. Glad we got Ted in there.
Yep. Okay. Ready for the next one? Here
Let's
we go.
What do you got, Oak?
This performer was born in 1986 and known...
1986?
Yes. Known as an American singer, songwriter, and actress.
Oh, I was going to say, if it's Justin Bieber, I'm going to give you a slap.
No, there's no Biebs.
There's no Biebs?
No Biebs.
Okay.
That is correct.
Well, wait. Creeks has got it?
He got up the first clue.
Okay, yeah. I'm sorry. Could you just read that clue over again, please?
Well, it's the year of this.
I was fixated on Justin Bieber.
He's born way after 1986. Known professionally as an American singer, songwriter, and actress. Born in 1986.
Mm-hmm.
This next clue. This solo singer's debut album was released in 2007.
All right.
Okay, next clue. In 2011, 4 years later, her second full-length album explored electronic rock and technopop and sold more than 1 million copies in the first week it was released.
Can I ask a question? Is she Canadian?
No.
Okay, I see I'm on the wrong track.
Okay. And then 3 years later, she released another album, and it sold more than 124 million records.
That's crazy.
Well, the accumulated amount of her sales was over 124 million records.
That's incredible.
By 2014.
Yeah, that's incredible. Yep. That's awesome.
So I'm pretending not to know just to
help
for the audience.
Yeah, it's okay. You're doing a hell of a job there, Chuck.
Yeah, I don't know. Continue, Oat.
Okay, thank you. Her last name is actually Germanata.
That's not helpful.
Well, some people are going to get that right away.
Yeah, right away.
If they know who she is. It's a girl. It's a woman. Early in her career, she was known for her wild and unconventional outfits.
Oh, is that your last clue?
No, I've got two more, but they're giveaways. I'll give both clues at the same time. More recently,
I think I know.
She's been focusing on her acting career.
Yeah, I think.
And the last clue is...
Yeah, Chad's got it.
At an award show, she actually wore a meat suit.
She did. She did.
Who is it? How many people could that be?
I know exactly.
You know, it's Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga.
You know, she's been winning awards before. I mean, the Oscars are this month.
but she's been winning awards for House of Gucci, right? Because she was nominated for A Star is Born, the remake, right? Of a remake, Anyway, yeah, but they snubbed her. They didn't nominate her for an Academy Award. I know you guys hate the Academy Awards. However, I'm just saying.
Not a big fan.
She was really good in it, if you hadn't seen it.
You know, there's a lot of singers who are going into acting and doing one hell of a job.
Well, like Jennifer Hudson.
Jennifer Hudson. And we just talked about Tim McGraw and Faith Hill in 1883.
Yeah, they're both really good in it.
Excellent.
Yeah, really good in it.
Well, there's probably more money in movies now than music.
Well, I mean, they're not doing, well, they couldn't do big crowds in concerts, so they, I guess they went into acting, but they are excellent in that show.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, Lady Gaga.
Yeah, it's a good one, Oak. Good one. You kept it a little more current. I got it on the first clue. I'm happy with that.
There you go.
Okay, let's do this one. This person was born March 2nd, 1950. An American singer and drummer began to study the drums in high school and joined the Long Beach State Choir after graduating. The choir's director said that she had a good voice and that was... it's a girl. She had a good voice that was particularly suited to pop and gave her lessons in order for her to develop a three-octave range.
And what year was this?
She was born in 1950. Hmm. So by the time high school, would she be like what? 1960, 67, 68.
Yeah. Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Is she black?
She is not.
Oh.
Is she white?
yes. She was the band's full-time drummer, but gradually took the role of frontman or front person as drumming was reduced to a handful of live showcases or tracks on albums.
Oh, I think we talked about this person. One of our,
she's an accomplished drummer. There's no question.
In our drumming episode, we talked about her.
We did.
I have to listen to our podcast more deeply when we're actually recording them.
Well, you have to stop taking naps in the middle of them, buddy.
Clue number three. She was praised by her peers as one of the greatest singers ever.
That's a big guess.
Yeah,
I know who it is.
Sure you do.
Was that the last clue?
Yeah, he's got it. That's right.
Is it Cher?
I got it.
He's got it.
Is it Cher?
No.
She was part of a duo that achieved enormous commercial and critical success throughout the 1970s.
Don't say ABBA.
No. Her struggle with and eventual death from anorexia would later raise awareness of eating disorders.
There you go. If you don't get it on that one, you're never going
to
get it.
Well, that's my last one.
Yeah, you want me to tell you?
Go ahead.
Karen Carpenter.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, Karen Carpenter. Matter of fact, she said her favorite drummer was Ringo Starr, believe it or not. That's like making your favorite drummer Charlie Watts, right? Like, not that they're bad drummers, don't get me wrong. Like, Charlie Watts was quite a good jazz drummer, too, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, that's your favorite drummer? Like, Ringo?
Or your favorite drink of choice on Saturday nights is warm milk.
Yeah. Right?
There you go. Hey, you can't take the personality away from Ringo. He was the personality of the Beatles.
Listen, I've always said I like Ringo. He just doesn't have any rhythm
as a drummer.
It's just, yeah, anyway.
Rhythm, drumming.
The only reason I've said this before, I've seen him in concert, and when he comes out from behind the kit and he comes to the front to sing, especially when he does Yellow Submarine. I saw him do Yellow Submarine, and he's out there singing. He's swaying back and forth. It looks like an awkward first dance at a high school. You know what I mean?
Talk about being the right place at the right time, being around the right people. Like, yeah.
So anyway,
unlucky son of a bitch.
There you go.
Okay, number nine.
Number nine.
I'm just screwing these guys up.
We've lost track.
We don't even know.
We don't know. All right. Well, speaking of Ringo Starr.
Yeah.
Number nine.
So he's
number nine. All right.
Maybe that's where I got it from.
Maybe.
Okay. Born August 12th, 1949, is a Scottish singer, songwriter, guitarist, and record producer.
Yeah, I've got a few Scottish dudes. What's with that? Well, they brought a lot of singers into the...
Yeah. Okay, Quicks is writing something down already.
I got it written, but I'll wait for the next clue.
All right. Can you say that first clue over again, please?
August 12th, 1949, is a Scottish singer, songwriter, guitarist, and record producer.
49, okay.
Yeah. After graduating from the University of Leeds and working for 3 years as a college lecturer, he co-founded a band with his younger brother. And this was the band that's still known. Like, it didn't change.
Okay.
This was the main band.
Same name?
Same. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Number three, their third album. Now, I'm not going to, you know what? I'm not going to give the name. Well, maybe, I don't know. Released in 1980, moved towards more complex arrangements and production. You know what? I'm going to give you the album name. Their third album, Making Movies. Because it's not a very popular album, so I'm Beth, confident that you guys wouldn't have grabbed that one. Okay. Number four. In addition to his earlier work and solo career, he has made several contributions to country music. In 1988, he formed country-focused band, and it's called the Notting Hillbillies, with Guy Fletcher and Steve Phillips. All right, number five.
Okay.
The lyrics for one of his songs released in 1985 has been criticized as being homophobic.
Oh. Oh, okay.
That's a biggie. I got one more clue, but number six is, number six, yeah, they both got it. Yeah. The band recorded.
He doesn't know. He got the band. He doesn't know the guy.
Ah, very good.
Go ahead.
We're doing guys here.
The band recorded six albums, including 1985, Brothers in Arms, one of the best-selling albums in history. That's my last clue. Note?
He doesn't know his
Who
name.
Who is it?
I can't remember his
he
name.
He knows the band.
It's Dire Straits, but I can't remember his name.
Knopfler.
Yeah,
Mark, that's right. I had Mark written down, but I couldn't remember his last name.
Knopfler.
Yeah.
That's good. That's a good one. I know you love that album. It's one of your favorites.
Oh, dude, it's the Headphones in Bedtime album. Yeah. Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon, and Brothers in Arms. Oh, man, it's the best.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, here we go. Number whatever.
That's it.
Born in 1982.
Got it.
Yeah, me too.
American singer and songwriter. And since 2009, has sold over 3 million albums and 5 million singles worldwide.
Is that a lot?
3 million?
Yeah, that's not a lot.
5 million singles since 2009.
Okay.
Okay.
Ain't no big deal.
At 19, he started performing on cruise ships.
Oh, at 19. So at, 19. At 6 million, he was 6 years old.
Dude, he was born in 1982.
Is this Bieber?
Rick, no. Rick Astley.
No, no.
Did you say Astley?
Not Astley, you dummy.
Yeah, and as I said, 2009 is when he became a little more famous.
Ah.
All right. Okay, this one's going to be a giveaway.
Already?
Well, it's clue number four already.
Oh, is it really?
Oh, wow.
Okay, the media publicized that he was gay during a TV competition.
Oh, I got it.
Was he gay? Why would they do that?
Well, he didn't care. He had nothing to hide, he said.
Oh.
Yeah, I got it.
You got it?
Yep.
He side cheated.
No, I didn't see it.
You bastard.
That's who I thought.
Okay, here's the last one. You're going to get it. He is now the front man for Queen.
There you go.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, but he is gay.
Yeah, he didn't care.
Exactly.
Yeah, but wasn't why he didn't advertise
it. Why does shit like that make news nowadays?
Because it's
Adam
stupid.
Lambert.
Adam Lambert.
Yeah.
Yeah, Adam Lambert.
He well, you know what?
He has one talented
Is there anything
guy.
That guy can't sing? Like, it's pretty crazy, he's to be honest.
Awesome. Yeah. That guy's got a wicked voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's really good.
And how many guys can step into those shoes? Like,
well, I know. They've tried with a couple, but Paul Rogers tried too. Remember we talked about that? From
that
Bad
didn't
Company.
Last very long, though.
Well, he toured with them. He did one tour with them, but I've got it on CD.
That's ballsy. I'm sorry for a singer. That's ballsy.
Well, for sure,
it could really go south. He, you know,
have you Adam seen, Lambert's have you seen perfect him? For them.
He's really good.
Oh yeah. No, I'm talking about
Paul Rogers.
Paul Rogers. Oh, that's ballsy for him to try.
And he's one of my favorite frontmen. I should have done him.
Yeah. You know what?
Which I didn't.
I was going to, and I told my son, "Nah, you know what?
Queeks is going to do. I'm not going to
I should have, you know. He's one of my favorite front men, Paul Rodgers, no question. What a voice. Anyway. Okay, my turn?
Yes.
All right, here we go.
Number 14.
Number
whatever.
Born December 28th, 1946. An American musician, songwriter, and record producer. He is known for being a multi-instrumentalist, playing the keyboard, guitar, saxophone, and percussion, as well as sings.
All at the same time?
All of it.
Wow. Yeah, that's good.
I'll give you the second clue. He invented the keyboard body strap early in his career.
I know who it is.
An innovation that allows him the freedom to move around the stage during his multi-instrument high-energy performances.
Is that it?
Yes.
I got it. Boom.
Yeah. So Charles got it. He composed and performed songs of numerous genres, including rock, jazz, blues, and pop. His critically acclaimed 1970 debut release, Entrance, was first to demonstrate his unique style of genre-blending musicianship. But he did it all. I like guys that tackle different genres, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Shows their depth of their talent.
He followed Entrance, the album, with two hit albums backed by his group White Trash, a group originally composed of musicians from Texas and Louisiana. Here's clue number five. In late 1972, he brought together Dan Hartman, Ronnie Montrose, and Chuck Ruff to form his now famous group. And the group is his name.
Right. When did, is that your last clue?
No, one more. Both he and his older brother, Johnny, were born with albinism.
Right.
They're both albinos.
Yeah. Kind of narrows it down.
And Cha?
Edgar.
Edgar Winter.
Edgar Winter, yeah.
Yeah. Great, man.
When did Derringer?
He joined after, like they only come out at night. I don't know if was he on that album? No, I think he. Yeah, so he joined after
okay,
that.
All right.
He joined after They Only Come Out at Night,
okay.
Which is my favorite album by them, obviously.
It is a good album, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, there you go. Edgar Winter.
All right, so this one's going to be out of Queek's, well, and yours, your comfort zone. But this is for the kids out there.
Okay.
All right. Born January 12th.
What year?
2015.
Whatever.
I'm joking.
He's seven.
Yeah. January 12th, 1965, is an American singer, songwriter, filmmaker, and voice actor. That's clue number one. Okay. Number two is he is a founding member of a heavy metal band and has released four studio albums. He is the older brother of Spider One, the lead vocalist of the industrial metal band Power Man 5000. Now, there's going to be some people like, oh, I know who this is.
Yeah.
But you guys are looking at me like deer in the headlights.
Exactly.
Yeah. Deer in the headlights? Is that what that is?
It fits.
We'll go with it. Everybody knows what I mean. Number three, his first solo effort was a 1996 song titled Hands of Death, Burn Baby Burn, written and performed with Alice Cooper. It went on to receive a nomination for Best Metal Performance at the 39th Annual Grammy Awards.
Hmm.
Exactly. Cooper, see, when I first said that, I said, who's this metalhead? Nobody. But no, he did it with Cooper, and yeah.
Cool.
All right. He directed the horror film House of...
I got it.
You got it from that?
Yep.
He directed the horror film House of 1,000 Corpses in 2000. Yeah, Queeks has got it. Nice job, buddy.
Yep.
Nice job. His second studio album, The Sinister Urge, 2001, became his second platinum album in the USA.
And just for the record, this isn't out of my comfort zone. I love this guy.
Oh, no shit. Yeah. Oh, all right. I take that back. Oat still has the deer in the headlight look. All right, number five. In 1997, he began working on his debut solo album, Hillbilly Deluxe, which was released in August 1998. And the last clue
is a month later, he officially disbanded from White Zombie.
Well, take that word and put a name before it.
Yeah. Who else do you know has the last name Zombie?
Rob.
Oh, Rob Zombie, right.
You know, and quite frankly, you know, he did a great job. I liked his remakes of the Halloween movies. You know, he remade them, and they're good. They're actually really good.
Like, if you see the guys, like, oh, holy God, this guy's like a friggin' roadkill. He's a skid.
Like, he looks like a wrestler from something. WWF.
Yeah, something. Like, but you know what? The guy's doing something right. He knows what he's doing. I like Thunder Kiss.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got to write those down.
Oh, Thunder, yeah.
Yeah, write these down. We're going to make a playlist. You got to hear these tunes.
Yeah. So Rob Zombie, there we go.
Yeah, Rob Zombie, yeah. Yeah, there you go. It's good, buddy. Good one.
I just dropped my sheet.
Can you reach over, or is your gun all the way?
He's got a reach of about 3 inches.
I can't even touch my knees. Thing fell on the floor. I'll get it later.
Okay, here we go.
Yep.
Now, this one's going to be a little controversial, and it may piss Queeks off, but I'm going for it. Here we go. This artist's first name is Calvin.
That's it. So not a stage name. This is a...
That's his real name, Calvin.
Yeah, but, okay. Is that what he uses?
He was... No.
No.
Oh, okay. No, okay. He was born in 1971.
Okay.
Okay. And he's known as an American rapper, songwriter, media personality, actor, and entrepreneur. And he also has done a bunch of things in the reggae genre.
Okay, I think I've got it, but go ahead.
Okay. He actually converted to Rastafari in 2012.
Oh, Ja wrote it down. He's got it. Good job,
He's got
Ja.
It. Yep.
Thank you.
His debut album reached 4 times platinum in 1994. And as I mentioned before, he's known mostly for reggae, funk, and rap. But he's also involved in entrepreneurship and a bunch of other different things.
Oh, you didn't think we'd be having one of those categories tonight, did you?
No.
All you people listening out there.
No. So here's the next clue. He was often linked with Martha Stewart.
Oh, I see. Now I got it.
Yeah. And the last clue is he recently performed at the 2022 Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Who is it, Chuck? You didn't bring up his pot growing?
No, I didn't.
In the Niagara region?
No.
No? It's the dog, Snoop.
Yeah, Snoop Dogg. That's right. There you go.
I am disappointed.
I know. Well, the Snoop.
We go from Rob Zombie to Snoop Dogg. There's a jump
nice
for you.
Nice transition.
Just mixing it up a little. Okay.
Okay, here we go. Here we go. Let's get this shit back on track. This guy, it's a guy, is considered by music journalists to be the godfather of shock rock.
Shock rock.
Yeah.
Well, what does that mean?
Oh.
I've never heard of that before.
He first introduced horror imagery to rock and roll, and whose stagecraft and showmanship have permanently transformed the genre. Yeah. Oates got it.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Away from music, he is a film actor, a golfing celebrity, a restaurateur, and since 2004, a radio DJ who has his own show late at night. He adopted his band's name as his own legal name when he went solo in the 70s. A lot of people thought, we'll talk about it after. He was born Vincent Damon Fernier.
Yep.
Frank Zappa signed the early band before he went solo to a 3-album deal in 1969. It's funny we bring up Zappa again. Zappa's come up a few times. Okay, who is it?
Weird Al Yankovic.
No. Go ahead, Oat.
It's Alice.
Alice Cooper. Yeah, mm-hmm. So a lot of people thought when the band was called Alice Cooper, that wasn't his name, but everybody kept calling him, because he was the front man, Alice Cooper. Yeah. So he's, might as well change my name. So he actually legally changed his name to Alice Cooper.
Are you serious?
Yeah. That was just the name of the band. Do you remember, like, shock? Here, let me give you a quick story about Cooper.
I thought that was glam rock. We're changing them. I thought Alice Cooper.
It's both. It's both. Okay, it's both, right. Yeah. So, remember the chicken incident? Like, you had written down Ozzy as a guest. Oh, yeah. Did. I mean, he bit the bat head off.
He thought it was a rubber bat, and when he bit it, he realized it was real.
That's right. Yeah. Oops. So, Alice Cooper claims that the infamous chicken incident at the Toronto Rock and Roll Revival concert in 1969 was an accident. A chicken somehow made its way onto the stage into the feathers of a feather pillow they would open during Cooper's performance with. Not having any experience with farm animals, Alice Cooper presumed that, well, because the chicken had wings, it would be able to fly. So he picked it up and he threw it out over the crowd, expecting it to fly away. The chicken instead plummeted into the first few rows occupied by wheelchair users who reportedly proceeded to tear the bird to pieces. Like, what a bunch of freaks. Why would you rip the bird to pieces?
I don't know.
The next day, the incident made front page national headlines, and Frank Zappa phoned Cooper and asked if the story, which was being reported, that he had bitten off a chicken's head and drank its blood on stage, was true. Cooper denied the rumor, whereupon Zappa told him, well, whatever you do, don't tell anyone that you didn't do it, because it was the best thing that happened at the time for publicity, right? But people were reporting that he ate a chicken's head off.
You can't believe anything.
The only business I know of, or the rock and roll business, where it'd be good for publicity, so everyone thinks you bit an animal's head off. Did you do it? No. Well, just say you did.
Yeah, exactly.
Where else are you going to hear that shit?
Yeah, I know, right? I know.
Okay, so this is my last one. Born June 6th, 1960, is an American guitarist, composer, singer, songwriter, and producer. A lot of these people, they just don't play guitar.
Yeah, no.
A three-time Grammy Award winner and 15-time nominee. That's a
15-time nominee.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, that was clue number one. Number two, he started his music career in 1978 at the age of 18 as a transcriptionist for Frank Zappa. Look at Zappa coming up again. And played in Zappa's band from 1980 to 1983. So for 3 years, he was playing in Zappa's band. Okay, number three. He embarked on a solo career in 1983 and has released 8 solo albums to date. He has recorded and toured with Alcatraz, David Lee Roth, Whitesnake, as well as recording with artists such as Public Image, Mary J. Blige, Spinal Tap, and Alice Cooper.
That's quite a lineup.
Yeah, this guy's talented. Queek's wheels are just freaking spinning.
Mm-hmm.
All right, number four. I've got 6 clues, by the way. Number four, he released his first solo album called Flexable it's supposed to be Flexible, but it's Flex-Able.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Got it.
In 1984. While his most successful release, Passion and Warfare, in 1990, was described as the richest and best hard rock guitar album of the 80s.
Mm.
So as you can tell, this guy's on a pedestal right now.
Right.
Clue number 5. He was voted the 10th greatest guitarist by Guitar World magazine and has sold over 15 million records.
No.
I'm down to the last clue there. This is a for sure. Queeks is going to get it. You should too. He was cast in the film. Yeah, Queeks has got it. He was cast in the film Crossroads as the devil's guitar player, Jack Butler, in the famous duel scene between his character, Ralph Macchione.
Ralph Macchio.
Whatever his name is.
Yeah.
You know what? That's a stupid movie.
Well, the fact that he had to lose a guitar battle.
No, I'm thinking of Karate Kid. Sorry.
Oh, Karate Kid.
Yeah, no, this Crossroads, see, that's not such
I
a
love
bad.
Karate Kid.
Oh, for God's sake.
I'm hooked on Cobra Kai now, the spinoff.
Dude, when he had him in the death kill, like he had him, and then all he did was reach down and went boop on his nose.
Yeah.
Dude, that wasn't
Karate Kid. That was a sequel.
Hey, guys, before you digress, you mind telling everybody what the
answer was? Oh, sorry. It was Steve Vai.
Yeah, Steve Vai.
Steve Vai, one of the greatest guitar players ever.
Steve is absolutely, absolutely sick with the guitar.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
But yeah, watching that movie Crossroads when he's in that guitar battle with Macchio and he's got to lose.
Dude,
that must have just killed him.
Killed him.
I know, right?
he wrote that music.
Oh, yeah.
For that movie, he wrote that riff, that whatever he did there.
You ever heard Bad Horsey?
Yes, of course.
Oh, it's a wicked tune,
of course. You know, I got to put that in our playlist. That's a great song.
Yeah, Bad Horsey.
All right, here's my last one. You ready?
If you got a last one, let me go because I got another one after it.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, let me do this one. So this guy was born January 20th, 1952. In 2006, Hit Parader magazine ranked him number 18 on their list of the top 100 metal vocalists of all time.
Hmm.
A Gibson.com readers poll in 2010 named him 13th on their list of top 25 frontmen. He was, there's no way you're going to get it. No, nice. That's a good guess, though.
Mm.
He was raised Jewish, although he did not consider his family very observant and did not celebrate his bar mitzvah. His parents listened to classical music and light opera while he was greatly moved by Beethoven's works. That's not going to give it to you whatsoever.
Let me guess.
I'd be shocked if you got it. No. Nice try, though, actually. He had a birth defect in his right ear called microtia. Until having reconstructive surgery at age 30 in 1982, he was unable to hear on that side and found it difficult to determine the direction of a sound and could not understand speech in a noisy environment.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like that by itself sounds familiar, right?
Well, yeah, and I never really knew this. I'm a huge fan of this band. And I never knew, now that I look back at the old clips from the 70s of them performing live, he's got long hair, and his hair was actually fixed to his right side so that you couldn't see his ear because he had a defect, right?
Mm.
Mm. Yeah. He joined a band in the early 70s called Wicked Lester. The band recorded an album in 1972, but it was never officially released. And in Wicked Lester, that's where he met his partner, who they formed a super band in the 70s. Everybody's shaking their head, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
He established the Star Child character for his onstage persona.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a band with lots of makeup.
Well, I know who it is.
Of course you do. Who is it?
It's Paul Stanley.
There it is. Both of you got it.
Oh, he jumps in.
Yeah.
That's because you think I didn't think I knew who it was.
I love Paul Stanley. You know, I follow Paul Stanley on Facebook, even though I'm trying to get off of Facebook. But Paul Stanley goes on there and he plays riffs, you know, with his rhythm guitar from the Kiss songs. And it's awesome to watch him play.
Well, there's
still
a show we have to do.
Yeah.
Kiss. So much material on Kiss and backstory.
Well, we were actually thinking about doing that, our very first podcast. We were thinking about doing Kiss, and we got into it, and we said, oh, man, we are in over our head right now.
There's so much for that band.
That's at least a 2 or 3 episode podcast, right?
Yeah, and for, you know, us, our first podcast, we backed off
so
a little bit.
So we're going to wait till a little bit later, but definitely we have to do it.
Yes.
Okay, I'll give my last one, then Queeks, you're going to go again?
Yeah, I'll do one more at the end, yeah, if you want.
Okay. This individual, born in 1958,
mm-hmm.
actual last name is Nelson.
Okay.
Was an American singer, songwriter, and multi-instrumentalist, and was widely regarded as one of the greatest musicians of his generation.
Wow.
All right. Yeah. Clue number two. He signed his first recording contract at the age of 19. All right. Next one. He was known for his flamboyant, androgynous persona and wide vocal range, which included a far-reaching falsetto and high-pitched screams. Next clue?
Yeah.
Is this like a heavy rock band?
Not really, no. It's not heavy metal, no. He died in 2016. That's a short clue.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, I know this guy.
Next clue. Oh, next clue. During his career, he released 39 albums.
I have no idea.
No.
Who died in 2016?
Okay, this is going to give it to you.
Uh-huh.
One of the events during his career, he famously changed his name when he was in a dispute with Warner Brothers.
Oh, that's right. Oh.
Didn't we do a podcast on that?
We mentioned it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I meant, yeah.
Yeah, we did mention it.
He died?
Is that the last clue?
Obviously, you don't know who it is.
All right, well, who is it?
Okay, he was born in Minneapolis. And I'll give you... One of his girlfriends was actually from Niagara Falls.
Oh, can I say it?
Yeah.
Prince.
Yes, Prince. Yeah.
Vanity.
Yeah, from Vanity 6.
Wow.
Yeah, so, yeah, Prince. Yeah, yeah, he's dead.
I was bummed when he died, man.
Yeah, me too.
I was so upset when he died.
What a fantastic guitar player. He's unbelievable.
Oh, man.
Well, it's more his presence. It's more his presentation of the songs and his... See him live. Do you know what? That's one thing. Somebody asked me a question. I saw it on, I think it was a Facebook. Would you want to see this band? Like, obviously, bands you can't see any longer. And Prince was in the list, and I said, I know what. I think I'd like to see him.
Are you kidding me? He's listen, put in the link the tribute to George Harrison.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen this video, please watch it.
He just goes off.
They're playing While My Guitar Gently Weeps. Yeah. And Tom Petty's there. There's a bunch of artists on stage. But when Prince does his bit with the solo... It's like, whoa.
Yeah, everybody's watching me, even
Holy
the guys on stage.
He just stole that.
This guy's out of control.
Oh, yeah. Prince is super talented, man.
Yeah.
I like the story you told when you came to the Niagara Square Cinemas.
I ripped his theater ticket.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Him and Sheila E.
Yeah. And you said they're both about 2.5 feet tall.
Oh, yeah. They came up to my chest. They're small.
The bodyguards were towering over you.
Well, maybe just because they were standing beside two 400-pound black guys. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, well, these were big boys.
Yeah.
Big boys. But the best part of that story is when Prince wants to come in. The big bouncer to our manager.
Yeah.
Prince wants to come in. The prince of what? I'm like, oh my, this is so embarrassing.
The prince of what?
And the black guy just looked at me. I said, yeah, we're good. I'll explain it. Yeah, that'd be great. Dude, Prince the rock star.
Oh.
Oh, man. All right, the last one.
Okay, here we go.
Here we go.
This guy was born January 10th, 1945. He was born and raised in London. He has had 10 number one albums and 31 top 10 singles. In the UK, six of which reached number one. He has had 16 top 10 singles in the US, with four reaching number one on the Billboard Hot 100. Oh, yeah, this guy's unbelievable. He was knighted in the... No, you don't. In the 2016 birthday honors for services to music and charity. In 1964, he joined Long John Baldry and the All-Stars before moving to the Jeff Beck Group in 1967.
No, it's not Sting.
No. He joined the band Faces in 1969 and maintained a solo career, releasing his debut album that same year.
I know who it is.
Of course you do. Mm-hmm. As a solo artist, he was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1994. And he was inducted a second time in 2012 as a member of Faces.
Yeah.
His third album, 1971's Every Picture Tells a Story, was his breakthrough topping the charts in the UK, US, Canada, and Australia.
Very unique voice.
As did his ballad, and this will give it if you haven't got it already, Maggie May.
There you go.
Yeah.
Good old Rod Stewart.
You got it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You know who I was going to do, and I thought, I thought Oat would do it, to be honest. Who else has a great resume is Phil Collins.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, actually.
Now, Rod Stewart, that's the very first concert I ever went to. Buffalo Auditorium.
That's your first show?
That was your first?
Very first one.
I don't remember. We talked about first concerts. I don't remember that ever coming up.
Yeah, very first one. The ticket was $25, and back then it was like, oh,
that's
my
a lot.
God.
Oh, my God. Back then it was like $8 for...
Yeah, it was $25. We went, and halfway through one of his songs, I can't remember which song it was, there was a glitch in the audio. And Rod Stewart goes, stop, everybody stop. He says, you people in the sound booth, get it fucking right. These people paid a lot of money to see this.
Yeah, it's good. Better go, Rod.
And he said, okay, now get it right.
Yeah, he did. He actually did tell the story before.
Yeah, he did. Meanwhile, it was Oat. He tripped over one of the audio cables.
Oops. Sorry. Anyway, so that's it. Name the artist. Have you guys got any more? Are we going to wrap this baby up?
There's so many we could have done. I wanted to do Steven Tyler. I wanted to do Rob Halford. There's so many.
Yeah, isn't that funny? Okay, you're gonna believe me?
What?
Rob Halford?
Yeah.
My son said, do Rob Halford. I said, dude, no, you know what? I'm trying to pick ones that Queeks won't do.
Yeah, well, he's on my list to do.
I knew it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But then neither one of us did it.
Neither one of us. Well, I had to mention him. He's one of my favorites, so.
Yeah. All right, boys. We're going to wrap this one up. So that's Name That Artist with Oat,
Queeks,
and Cha,
the Jabber Guys.
Remember to share our episodes and go to our website, jabberguys.com, to subscribe to our podcasts, Inside Rock and Weird and Wacky World.